Blog Talk Radio.
Around the world, the spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 669, Alexis, North Carolina, 28006. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast, but here now is David Langford.
Hello, friends. This is Pastor David Langford, and as always, we'd like to take the opportunity to welcome you to the broadcast today, and I trust that wherever that you might be, the grace of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ is truly pervading and permeating your heart and life as never before.
Around the world.
Boy, I've got a little audio problem here in the studio today, but that's all right. That's all right. We'll get it straightened out here in just a moment. Again, we'd like to welcome you today to this edition of the Voice of Evangelism International Ministries, and just tell you how much we appreciate you for what you do regarding the things of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We're serving a mighty big God. Too often we limit God, we question God, but you know God's thoughts to usward are immeasurable. Now I know that may seem hard for you to grasp, to fathom, to understand, but God's thoughts toward you are so innumerable. David said that they are like the sand. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. Would you believe that every day, now I don't understand that power of God, that every day God specifically, individually thinks about every one of us with thoughts that are more than the number, than the sand of the sea or the oceans. Now, I want you to think about that for just a moment. Nearly 7 billion people on the planet, and his thoughts are more than the sand of the sea. That's totally unfathomable in the mind of a man. At least it is in my mind. And when I think of the magnitude and the greatness and the majesty and the power of God, it overwhelms my heart to think and to know that God is always mindful of me. I'll never forget some years ago now. It's been about 2 years. Out here in the studio praying, pouring my heart out to God, and the Holy Ghost quickened my mind to a passage of Scripture that I had totally forgotten. But remember, Jesus said the Holy Ghost will bring all things back to your remembrance, whatsoever I have spoken unto you. And as I was praying, That's got to be around 2 to at least 3 years ago. The Spirit reminded me of Psalms 115, verses 12 and 13, which says, "The Lord hath been mindful of us. He will bless us. He will bless the house of Israel. He will bless the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear the Lord, both small and great." God is a God of blessing. And so today, as I was meditating and contemplating on the program, I said, "God, let me encourage your people. Let me just build the people of God up." I know some of you are beleaguered, you're tired, you're worn, you're discouraged, you're depressed. I said, "God, just somehow use me to lift the people of God up." I found an old song by Curtis and Charmaine Bridgman. They did it when they were down at Jimmy Swaggart's ministry. But I want to tell you, this is a guy and his wife singing the song. Curtis is doing the lead. His voice is so high, it sounds like a woman, but it's not a woman, it's a man. And he's not a funny man either. He's a man's man. But I want you to listen to the words of this song. And I pray that today this song will just edify you and bless you and lift you up and cause you to sit in heavenly places.
When I think about the Lord, how he saved me, how he raised me, how And then I finally found my feet on solid ground.
Come on now, come on.
When I think about the Lord, does anybody know what I'm talking about?
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember when he saved you? When he raised you? When he picked you up? And he turned you around?
Oh, yeah.
See, we wouldn't be here tonight if it hadn't been for him as the solid ground. And when I just take a moment and think about the Lord, how he picked me up and he turned. See, I remember the Bible says that he'll turn the crooked way straight. And he'll make everything work out for the good. So I remember when he picked me up, turned me around, healed my body, freed my mind, gave me joy,
oh, yeah.
Gave me peace, gave me love. And when I think about all of that and how he put my feet on solid ground, it makes me want to shout.
About the Lord and all of his goodness to me makes me want to shout too. Amen. I want to go today to Psalms 139. Psalms 139 verses 1 through 18. Rather lengthy passage. We will expound on verses 14 through 18. But I want you to listen to the words of the psalmist David. Psalms 139, beginning at verse 1. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest my down sitting and mine uprising. Thou understandest my thought afar off. Thou compassest my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, thou knowest it altogether. Thou hast beset me behind and before, and laid thine hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high. I cannot attain unto it. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and thy right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yea, the darkness hideth not from thee, but the night shineth as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to thee. For thou hast possessed my reins. Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me. O God, how great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. I want to use for a subject today the sum of thy thoughts. The sum of thy thoughts. God's word is made by the words of the Holy Ghost. We find Paul in 2 Timothy 3:16-17, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God might be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. 2 Peter 1:21 says, for the prophecy came in the old time, not by the will of men, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. It is the Holy Ghost that God used to inspire men to pen his holy writ, but the Holy Ghost would put great emphasis on words. We use the term sometimes, well, that's a figure of speech. The Holy Ghost uses words to direct our attention to certain words for certain meanings and for certain purposes. The Holy Ghost can be profusely graphic when it comes to verbiage. 2 Peter 2:20 says, for if after they, believers, have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them, the believer, than the beginning. For it had been better for them, the believer, not to have known the way of righteousness than after they, the believer, have known it, to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it has happened unto them, according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. I use that verse, that passage, not to beat up on my brothers on once saved, always saved false doctrine, but I use that passage to point out a dog returning to his vomit. Because it is so full of intent, purpose, certain meanings that you go back to the world, you go back to vomit. Something that is refuse, worthless. The Holy Ghost puts emphasis on what is being said, and there's a reason for that. The reason or the purpose for intent is to direct our thoughts and our understanding so that we might grasp and fathom the Word of God in a more serious way. Paul in Hebrews 10:31 said, "It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God." Psalms 9:17. "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God." So when Paul said, "It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of a living God," you've got to understand who created and who made you. You're in a very tenuous and dangerous place. I want to look at Genesis 3 for just a moment, at the emphasis of certain words, why God said what he said and how it is applied. You read it one way, you say, well, he's talking to the serpent. That is true, but he's also speaking to Lucifer, Satan, the fallen one. Genesis 3, 14 and 15, "And the Lord said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle." That is true. Snakes now live at the feet of cattle. "And above every beast of the field, upon thy belly shalt thou go." Describing his personage as a serpent. "And dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel." Does Satan go about on his belly? No. Does Satan eat dust all the days of his life? No. Does Satan have a head? Yes. Does Satan have a heel? Yes. So we see terms being used describing certain things. Now, of course, the heel here was not Satan, but the heel was Jesus, but the head was the devil. But he's talking to the serpent. So there's divine purpose, there's divine intent when God begins to put emphasis on verbiage and words. And I want to begin with verse 14 here in our scripture text, where the psalmist said, "I will praise thee." So many of us, when we find ourselves in a crisis or a state or place of difficulty, we never praise God. My wife and I had an appointment in Charlotte this morning. Riding down the road, I just begin to thank God. I begin to praise God. I begin to bless his name. Psalms 34, verse 1, David said, "I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth." Verse 3, "Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together." We ought to magnify the Lord. "For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well." David said, "I am fearfully and wonderfully made." The human body, anatomically, is one of the greatest creations that's man has ever thought about, imagined, or ever dealt with. I'm going to give you just a few details of the human body today. There are approximately 263 bones in a person's body, 600 muscles, 970 miles of blood vessels, There were about 400 cups on the palate of your tongue for taste. 20,000 microscopic hairs in your ears and eardrum to tune in sound correctly. Who but God could put 20,000 microscopic hairs in the lining of one's hearing so that when he hears my voice, he says, "That's David Langford." When he hears a dog bark, he says, "That's a dog." Hears a man blow his horn, he said, "That's a horn." Or a husband hears his wife's voice, he says, "That's my wife." Or the wife hears the husband, she says, "That's my husband." Doesn't even have to look. But those 20,000 microscopic hairs in the ear canal help to decipher the sounds that we hear in our hearing. 10 million nerves in our body. The heart beats approximately 4,200 times an hour and pumps 12 tons of blood every day. Is that comprehensible? Can you fathom that? The heart beats 4,200 times approximately an hour and pumps 12 tons of blood a day. No wonder when God made Adam. And the Greek word is cardio. And cardiologists, when they look and they examine of the muscle of the heart, it is designed and is built and so that it should beat with perpetuity. It should never stop. But it stops because of sin. Adam lived to be 930 years of age. Can you imagine the tonnage of blood that his heart pumped? Think about that. That's at 12 tons of blood a day times 365 times 930. And David said, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made." And not only were we just made, but we were made in the image and in the likeness of God. We weren't made like cattle. I was out last week cleaning and working and throwing away junk, and I ran across a little rabbit hole, and there were three little baby rabbits in a hole, and the fur that Mama had pulled from her body to help build that rabbit nest. She was not there. She was gone. But those little baby rabbits, they just sat right there in that hole, and they never moved. They never done anything. And I thought, how vulnerable you are. And your mama has buried you in a little hole, and she's pulled fur to keep you warm, to snuggle you, to nurture you, to put you in this little nest. God does all these great and magnanimous things within our lives. And yet, Psalms 14, verse 1, the fool has said in his heart, "There is no God." How stupid an atheist truly is. I don't know. I've never been to war. I was classified 1H in high school. As soon as I graduated, I was classified 1A. And Nixon stopped the war before I was drafted. But they say there are no atheists. Foxholes. When men are dying and their intestines are in their hands, or their limbs are blown away and they're holding the other limb in the other hand, there are no atheists. No wonder David said, "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." Here in verse 15, David said, "My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret." Did you know when a man and his wife conceive, initially it's a secret thing? A woman doesn't know she has conceived when that sperm and that egg meet and they create this embryo. She doesn't know it, but it's already happened. It's taken place. It will take weeks down the road before she misses her period or she begins to sense a change in her body, but it's not hid from God. My substance was not hid from thee. God knew the exact moment that that sperm penetrated that egg and conception took place, and there was an embryo, and life began. The secret place, the most inner being of a woman. My substance was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest part of the earth. Now, that's descriptive again. He's not talking about earth. He's talking about the innermost part of a woman, her womb. He was wrought in the womb. Man was made from earth. Dust thou art, dust thou shalt return. And David, through the Holy Ghost, is being descriptive, describing the inner part of a woman, her womb. That's where I was made. I was conceived in secret, in the curiously wrought, in the lowest part of the earth. Verse 16, he said, "Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect." There's so much knowledge, God knowledge, in conception, that when that one spermatozoid pierces that egg says, "Now that's it, no more. The act has been fulfilled." Of course, this is a God thing, and I know there'll be those who'll disagree with that, but that act, that God knowledge, that God presence, there's so much knowledge in that embryo now that it says you cannot come in again. Of course, it can divide and have identical twins, or a woman can have two eggs and conceive like Esau and Jacob, but my point is the God knowledge is there and says stop. Don't do that. The act has been performed. The act has been completed. Thine eyes, David said, your eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book, all of my members were written. Did you know at that point in time, God then begins to record all of your members, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. Now, I'm no doctor, and I'm not trying to be a doctor, and I'm not trying to portray myself as some genius talking about the anatomical parts of humanity, the body, but it is a phenomenal creation that God created. David understood the magnitude, and all my members were written. Every aspect of David's unperfect body, because it was not fully grown. He was not even born yet, but God was already keeping a record. All my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. Now that's a profound statement about creation of humanity, and yet man was not even conceived yet. Wasn't even in the mother's womb. The egg had not been permeated by the sperm. You see, God knows the beginning and the end. He told Jeremiah in Jeremiah 1 and 5, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. How profound is that? God said, Jeremiah, before I formed thee in your mother's belly, I knew you. Before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. See, God, according to David, was already beginning to make a record of what he was going to do with somebody that was not even born yet. Yet God said, oh, I knew you. Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew you. And you don't think God cares about you. How many times have you been upset, bitter, angry, hurt, disturbed about something, and the devil's put the thought in your heart, in your mind, God, you don't care about me. Are you kidding me? We've been moving. After 23 years in one place, I got a lot of junk. As I've said time and time again, I'm gearing my life strictly for the ministry. And my wife and I, we were riding down the road one day last week, and she said, I am so happy because I know we're in the perfect will of God. I'm happy. The old gospel song, I sing because I'm happy, I sing because I'm free. Jeremiah, he said, before I formed thee, Jeremiah, in your mother's belly, I knew you. That's the awesomeness of God. Before thou camest forth out of your mother's womb, I sanctified thee. The word sanctification, the word sanctified in the Greek is hagamos. I'm not sure what the word is in the Hebrew, but it simply means I have set you apart. I have ordained you for my service and for my purpose. So in the process of forming Jeremiah, he made him a particular way. You've heard the figure of speech. Well, when they made so-and-so, they made them and they throwed away the mold. There's a reason God says, now God didn't say that word, but that phrase, but there is a reason God says things the way he says things. And because of our lack of spirituality, we do not discern, we do not comprehend, we do not fathom the depth and the breadth and the height, because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:9, it is written, as I live, saith the Lord, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit, for the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. God knew before you were conceived, you'd be listening to this radio program today. He knew that David Langford would be inspired on May the 19th to go and to begin to expound from the Word of God in Psalms chapter 139 from the King James Version Bible. God already knew all that. If God can know you before you're even formed, conceived, the egg and the sperm, if he can know you before then I would think God knows everything. And yes, he does. And that's why we as believers, you know, I'm 60 years of age now, and God just keeps hammering it, hammering it. Trust me. Don't worry about anything anymore. Just trust me. Walk by faith. Trust me, David. Get strong like Abraham and stagger not at my promises. If I said it, I'm going to do it. You can take it to the bank. Quit staggering. Quit stumbling. Terah. That's Abraham's father. It was a heathen, a pagan. History says he made idols. Terah made idols. Yet in Genesis 12, God says to Abraham, or Abram, did you know I've had people attack me because when it says Abram, I might say Abraham? Can you believe people can strain at a gnat and swallow a camel to that degree? Yeah, I've had people to say, you're preaching error. His name was Abram at that point in time, but I may say Abraham or Sarah instead of Sarai. They miss the deep things of God because they're nitpickers. But God said to Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred. Get out of this country, Ur of the Chaldeans, and I want you to leave your kindred and leave your father's house and unto a land I will show thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Does Abraham have a great name? When preachers like myself preach, we preach of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. We quote his name time and time and time and time and time again, and his name is all throughout the New Testament. Even Jesus preached about Abraham in his own sermons to the bigots and the idiots, the self-righteous. In Matthew chapter 22 and 32, I am the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac and the God of Jacob. God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. There's a reason he said that. Because he's talking about a resurrection when Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, they too will be resurrected. But the covenant, the blessing, began with one man that was raised by a pagan, heathenistic father who made idols. And God looked down and said, Abram, Abram, leave your mama, leave your daddy, leave the land of Ur, the Chaldeans, and I want you to come and follow me, and I will make covenant with thee, and I will bless you, Abraham. Did you know when God saved you, he brought you into covenant with him, and you don't have anything to bring to the covenant? That's why I loathe, and I'm going to say this, you can get mad and write me hate mail and emails. I loathe you people who preach and teach the law. There's no covenant in the law. The covenant is in Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. Oh, I know, Old Testament, Old Covenant, but that's why it's called New. It couldn't satisfy what needed to be done. But God made covenant with Abraham before the law. Let me get back on my message. I get upset when I think about people who don't know the scriptures well enough to magnify and praise the Lord God of Abraham and realize just how good God is to all of us. He's so good to me. My God, he's good to me. He wrote all of this down Psalms 139, verse 16. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned when as yet there was none of them. I wasn't a complete being as of yet, but I would become one. And I would become a great man of God. He didn't know that in his mother's womb. I was thinking about God. If God was a man, he'd be the most unbelievable man that ever was. But Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, because a man cannot do what God can do. What do you mean by that, Pastor? To write and record down the members of a person's anatomical creation from an embryo until the grave. In Matthew 10:29, Jesus said, are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And one of them shall not fall on the ground without your Father? But the very hairs of your head are all numbered. The very hairs of your head are numbered. All this is being recorded. But the very hairs on your head are all numbered. Now that is somebody who is concerned about you. People say, I don't give a flip. I could care less. It don't matter to me. It does to God, even the little things. When a sparrow, some of you listening to me today, you've been riding down the road before and you hit a bird. A bird flew out in front of your car, your truck, and you hit it. And every time that's ever happened to me, that scripture comes to my mind. He just knew that sparrow that fell to the ground. He may have some type of a funeral service for that sparrow. I don't know, but he knew when that sparrow fell to the ground. It didn't fall without him not knowing it. And that's who I serve. I love Psalms 127. It's just full of so much profoundness. Verse 1, except the Lord build this house, they labor in vain that buildeth, except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. Those three verses in Psalms 127 are full of nothing but profundities. But he wants you to know, it's vain, it's worthless for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. God wants you to rest well at night. Did you know that? He doesn't want you sitting up late worrying about your troubles, your sorrows, and your pains, and your toils. Now, that doesn't negate being burdened to pray. I think I shared with you last week, my wife and I, on Sunday morning, I got burdened, profusely burdened. I carried it all day. I carried it all night. I got up Monday morning. My wife looked at me and she said, I feel sad today. We both got on our knees on our little love seat in our bedroom, and we knelt down. We began to pray. The burden lifted. The sorrow, the pain lifted. Why? We sought God. We asked for God to help this frail creatures that we are. God, help us. Psalms 108:12, give us help from trouble, for vain is the help of man. Lord, give us help from trouble, because man's help is vain. We ought to pray one for another. I shared that last week, too. We pray one for another so that we can be healed. Pray for sick people. If you're sick in your body, start praying for people that you know are sick. I'm serious. James 5, verse 16. pray one for another that ye might be healed. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Patrick Cusack prayed for me last week. My knee's been getting better ever since then, but he told me he had an accident back in March. He gets anointed to pray for me. Now he tells me he's feeling better. How great is God? How big is God? Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect. And in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. In other words, nothing was there, but now it begins to grow. Now it begins to develop. And so we become a child, we're born, and then we have these years. 60, 70, 80, 90 years. See, David understood a whole lot more than what a lot of PhDs understand today. In Psalm chapter 90, verse 9, we spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 70 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet in their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Verse 12, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. You see, your days are numbered. They were written down in a book already. All my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. There was no arms, there were no limbs, there were no appendages, but you were there. You were there. Yet the heathen says, that ain't no baby. That's just a blob of tissue. Let me use my Greek word again. You idiot. Y'all like that Greek word? I like that Greek word. Idiot. That ain't nothing. Yes, it is too. How do I know? God told me so by his holy word. I knew thee before I formed thee. Can't nobody know stuff like that and do stuff like that but God. Boy, I need to hurry up. I'm almost out of time. How precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. Precious. My God, precious Lord, are your thoughts to me. Sometimes you think God's cruel, you think God's hard sometimes, and I will admit, sometimes it is hard. You know why? Because we sinned. The way of the transgressor is hard. Even Israel in their rebellion and hatred and malice and idolatry and paganism and heathenism and their whoredom and their sodomy. Jeremiah 29, verse 11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. God didn't want them to go into Babylonian captivity and be exiled from their homeland, but their sin did that to them. God's thoughts are precious. Look at your children. Little children, as they begin to grow, your thoughts toward them are, I want them to be healthy. I know when I was, my children were young, I would walk through the house at 2 or 3 o'clock in the morning and lay my hands on them while they were sound asleep and say, God, give them health, give them wealth. God, give them the right companion. God, give them an education. God, make them what they ought to be for you. Keep your hand upon them, God. I acknowledge God in all my ways, even with my children. My thoughts toward my children have always been good, just like God's thoughts toward you and me. They're always good. God don't have evil thoughts toward his children. He has pity. He has pity on his children. Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, ask and it shall be given you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son ask bread, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he give him a serpent? If then ye, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? If you, being a parent, know how to give your children good gifts, some of them get too much and they get ruined, they get spoiled. God's not going to ruin nor spoil us. But the continuation of our lives, from the very time that the sperm penetrates the egg and conception is made until you're laid in a coffin, a casket, and buried, God's thoughts toward you are good. Verse 18, if I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. When I awake, I am still with thee. In other words, I'm never out of the mind of God. Whether I'm here on this earth or I die, I go to heaven, I'm always on God's mind. Now, I that's, as I said, hard to grasp, hard to fathom. You cannot count, neither can you number how great his thoughts are toward you. Can anybody listening to me today count the grains of sand on one seashore, the whole Atlantic coast, or the seashore, the ocean of the Pacific, all the way up the California, Oregon, Washington coast? Can anybody count all the grains of sand? No. Yet David said, if I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. We here in North Carolina, we have creeks. I got a creek. We call it creek sand. There's sand in these creeks. They dredge it out. They sell it around here. It's creek sand. Some of you guys know what I'm talking about, creek sand. Some of you women probably know what I'm talking about. But it's creek sand. I'm talking about ocean, sea, the coast of the United States. Can you count the number of the grains of sand on the Atlantic coast? No, you can't. Yet, David said, if I should count them, they are more in number than the sand. And the devil will lie to you and tell you, God don't care about you. God doesn't love you. Let me tell you, and I got to close. My time is gone. You know, one of the reasons I know that God loves me and blesses me, I try to do what's right, period. No, I'm not perfect. I'm not perfect. Never have been, never will be. If you don't believe me, write my wife a letter and she'll tell you how imperfect I am. But I always, as a Christian, as a man of God, I try to do what's right. Thus, I expect the blessing of God upon my life. I can expect that because his thoughts unto me are great. How precious also are their thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If you don't think I make mistakes, look at the title of the program, The Sum of They Thoughts. I mistyped it. Those of you listening on Blog Talk, it should be the sum of thy thoughts. So I'm going to point out my own mistakes. And I'll edit that and I'll correct that. But it's wrong. It should have been thy instead of they. But I make mistakes. But my point is, I expect the blessing of God because I'm trying to live right. I'm trying to do right. You, my friend, have the same privilege to expect the blessing of God upon your life by living right and doing right. When you know you're doing right, you have the right to expect Jesus said, if you know how to give your children good gifts, there in Matthew chapter 7, how much more shall your Father, which is in heaven, give good things to them that ask him? I'm not going to get into all of that, but see, when you're walking with God, you're talking with God, you don't ask for foolish stuff. If you're a Christian, you're saying, God, don't feed me cotton candy sermons. Give me meat and potato sermons. One brother wrote me a couple weeks ago and said, finally, I found somebody preaching the Word of God. He said, I've been praying about that. Guess what? God gave him the gift of being able to receive the Word of God, the meat, the potatoes. Why? That's what the man was wanting. That's what the man was looking for. And God gave it to him. Not through David Lankford, but through David Lankford preaching the Word of God. God bless you. I'll see you tomorrow in the Lord Jesus Christ.
With David Lankford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to The Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to The Voice of Evangelism, P.O. Box 669, Alexis, North Carolina, 28006. That's P.O. Box 669, Alexis, North Carolina, 28006.